see Zendaya like you've never seen her before.
From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challengers, where Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy who makes no apologies for her game on and off the court.
For more than a decade, she has had former best friends Patrick and Art, played by Josh O'Connor and Mike Feist, under her spell.
It's Tashi's game and Tashi's rules.
See Challengers only in theaters April 26th. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com. Are you tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card?
Well, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night.
Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime.
So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve.
Limitations apply.
See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
While I was watching on my couch last night, I got a mosquito bite on my forehead. I was in an air-conditioned, like, central air apartment building, and it's I got a mosquito bite on my forehead.
Putting you in your place.
Welcome to Here to Make Friends, a HuffPost podcast about the Bachelor franchise, where we lovingly snark on The Bachelor and Bachelor adjacent shows.
Whether you love The Bachelor or love to hate it, we're here to break down every single delicious moment with you.
I'm Emma Gray.
And I'm Claire Fallon.
So we're back on the beaches of Sayulita, Mexico, where the vaginas are not dancing and the men are all weeping.
Maybe like 30% of this episode was just Colton crying, red-faced. But to be honest, when I sweat that much, I also cry uncontrollably, so I really related to that.
Yeah, I mean, I was on board with the male tears. 4 hours of paradise this week means we have so much Colton and Tia to catch up on. But also, there's the Goose Gang and, of course, John Belie. That's Jubilee and John. There was enough material for at least 3 separate reality shows in these 4 hours.
It's too much. But here to talk it all through with us, one of my favorite people and writers, an expert in art, wear pups, and of course, The Bachelor, our colleague Priscilla Frank.
Hi, guys. This is my true dream to be here. I'm so excited.
Thanks for joining us.
She also brought mimosas. So, you know, maybe we'll all be just like a little looser today.
Yeah.
It's basically like Yuki made us a cocktail.
Except apparently her cocktails are disgusting. And this is this delicious.
This is delicious.
And honestly, just what I needed.
So, like Wells made us a cocktail.
Wells claims not to be good at making cocktails, but I don't believe him.
He's so good at spinning. It doesn't even matter.
Guys, where did we even start?
Oh my God. We started right back in the Chris and Goose Gang drama with...
There's so much happened.
What's funny because it starts at pretty much the exact opposite place with where it ends with Chris and the Goose Gang, because it starts with Chris getting hyped up to confront Colton about playing with Tia's emotions.
It is truly stunning how brazenly Chris managed to just make all of his male aggression about protecting Tia and then immediately turn around and not give a fuck about Tia.
He gets so confident. His highs and lows are out of control.
Mediocre white men, man.
It's like, it's kind of hard to watch because it's not that I relate to Chris, but there is a part of me when he like loathes himself and then turns around and is like, or I'm the best thing ever. And I'm like, I feel that. There's no in between. So finally Colton and Tia come back, and Colton goes to talk to the Goose Gang, and they're like, what's your deal? Are you 100% committed to Tia? Are you exploring other options?
He's like, I'm not 100% committed to her, as we spoke about.
Yeah. And Chris is like, you can't do that, bro. You can't. Which is false. He can. And that is, in fact, the concept of paradise, as Chris later realizes. And meanwhile, poor Tia is telling the girls that she, like, they had a great date. Astrid asked if her vagina danced. Seems like Tia feels like her vagina did
this
dance.
A little jig.
Entire story. I mean, Tia did have a few moments of really standing up for herself, but I feel like they're really leaning into Tia just being duped by men. That is the theme of her story arc.
And poor Tia.
It sucks.
I do feel like a little irritated at the idea that Tia should stop liking someone just because it's not working out right away. Like, in the sense that it's like a failing of hers that she can't just pick the guy who likes her the most. I think women have to fight for the right to be really into someone who isn't liking them back. That doesn't mean that she can, like, force herself on him. But I personally think it's okay to wallow and be like, he's the guy I really want, even if he doesn't. Like, it's like, oh, you should be embarrassed that you like someone who isn't fully committed to you.
You can't just flip a switch and be like, well, I realize this person isn't into me. Therefore, I have no feelings for them and I will just jump ship to another man.
You don't just stop liking someone just because they're not into you.
And he hasn't really, like, treated her badly. It would be one thing if he was playing with her emotions or lying to her. But so far, he seems like he's been relatively open with her and isn't really messing that much with her emotions, or he hasn't done much wrong.
Honestly, I felt like they both handled themselves pretty well.
I agree.
I think so too.
I'm already losing track of the
where
sequence
we are
here,
in this but story.
He does. He sits her down at some point before the rose ceremony, and is like, "Look, I like you, but I'm not really 100%. And she's like, well, that's what I'm really looking for. I really want you to be all in with this. And he says, well, unfortunately, I'm not, but I still would like to pursue things with you. And it was just this weird moment where a very healthy conversation, I thought, was being had, because he was expressing what he wanted to date her, but also other people. She was expressing that she wanted to date him exclusively. And they were both like, well, neither of us is getting what we want. And that's just kind of something we have to deal with.
Yeah, I was actually kind of impressed by it.
Yeah, I rarely say that on this show. There was Tia got a lot of pushback for saying, you know, well, if you don't give, like, you know, if you don't commit to me, no one else is going to want to give you a rose. Not her best moment. But, like, in the end, like, 2 seconds later, she was like, well, I understand, and I'm just going to have to say goodbye for my own good, and thanks for telling me. Like, it was just very mature on the whole. So if there are a couple comments that weren't, like, ideal, I feel like
and
that's just how humans are.
So much worse communication on this show. I
and
mean,
we
my
will
goodness.
Later in this
we certainly will, even in these, you know, 4 hours of television. Yeah, as you said, I thought both of them actually expressed pretty clearly what they wanted. And that's a thing that happens. Sometimes people aren't quite on the same page and they both want things that the other person can't quite give. And that's just something that you have to deal with when you are dealing with other human beings.
Yeah.
I feel like one of my only issues with Tia was that she was so forceful with Colton about being the first choice and going all in when she was so clearly juggling two guys herself.
Yeah. I mean, I think that she was trying to hedge her bets with Chris.
Yeah.
And because she wasn't sure if Colton was going to come through. And if he had been like, it's you, she would be like, Chris who? I don't know.
100%.
For sure. Yeah. Goose who?
Goose who?
Goose.
So, and I mean, I think it's funny that Colton was getting a lot of backlash before this even aired for actually being interested in Tia, even while he was dating Becca. It was all about getting on Paradise and hooking up with Tia. And now that he's in Paradise, everyone is mad at him for not being into Tia and still being into Becca. It's like, this guy can't win.
Yeah, I feel like I really didn't trust him the entire season of The Bachelorette and thought he was so full of it. And now I feel like I'm seeing him for the first time, and he's just been so probably too honest the entire
time. He's also been pretty consistent.
Yeah.
And I also
yeah.
didn't trust him for so long, and I'm looking back kind of thinking, is there a real reason I didn't?
He's too pretty.
There is something that I still – and it mainly has to do with why does he keep trying to date famous women? And that still makes me wonder a little bit. However – they're all trying to date famous people on this show, so at a certain point, you just have to
let that judgment go. Also, Colton's lisp like really cute slight lisp is not something that I noticed on The Bachelorette, yeah. and I'm really noticing it on Paradise, and I find it endearing.
I feel like
that's
he was
here, neither
very
here nor there.
Controlled and rehearsed on The Bachelorette, and on Paradise, he's a little more loosey goosey,
a little more weepy,
mm-hmm. letting it all out. Mm-hmm. Can we talk about just briefly how Chris did Karate Kid poses in the sunrise wearing a headband with a rising sun on it?
He manages to make me hate him more and more when I don't think it's possible.
It's like I don't know if I hate him more when he is acting aggressive or when he's just feeling full of confidence.
They're both bad.
Both really bad. He gives this monologue that's like, the goose is one of a kind, and he is I, and I am him. The goose is here, baby. Got the short shorts going, got the headband on, like the Karate Kid, sweeping those ladies off their feet. What is he talking about?
I have no idea.
Do we know when he started the goose thing and why?
It seems like
I still can't figure it out.
The Bachelorette, but also, why would you choose that nickname? It's not flattering.
Also, geese are terrible animals.
Geese are bad animals. It symbolizes like being the butt of a joke or being like silly. It doesn't come with a lot of positive connotations like eagle or tiger. It's just like,
you don't think
what
goose are sexy animals? It's a total goose.
I mean, they do have really long necks.
Yeah,
maybe
girl.
That's supposed to.
Oh, baby!
You know what they say about
long necks. I mean, it's do they? Maybe they do. Maybe yeah, he's trying
horrible.
To start that. Meanwhile, John finds a date card for Kenny. And Kenny gets really excited and finally asks out Crystal.
Love how he kissed everyone's hand. So sweet.
Like I adore Kenny.
The minute he was at the center of the dating attention, he was just like flirting and like throwing lines at people, kissing hands. He was like, I was born to shine in this moment.
He's very performative.
Oh, yeah.
The wrestling.
Which makes complete sense given his career.
He ends up carrying Crystal away after asking her on the date.
She has some sort of foot injury?
Yeah, she stepped on a rock.
Right.
Yeah, we learn. Mm-hmm. And how did you guys feel about this date that Kenny got to go on?
I was sort of on board with a date that showed off Kenny's skills.
Yeah, so they go to a Lucha Libre show, which is kind of a Bachelor in Paradise staple because it's this fun, also, like, Mexican culture-specific
I was
going to
say, it's a genuinely fun thing to do in Mexico.
Yeah, and, like, Kenny is great for it because he knows all about it. He knows all about the history and, like, the dynamics.
He seems to speak Spanish also.
At least enough to banter with the people on stage. But I also felt sort of like every single date we've ever seen Kenny on has been a wrestling date.
That's true.
Like, can he ever just have a romantic date where they go get margaritas and...
That is a very fair point.
That was just my first reaction.
I did wonder, though, I feel like the last wrestling date we saw him on, we hardly got to see him do any wrestling. And so I wonder if he was sort of reveling in the fact that he got to sort of show off.
Was that planned, do you think?
I think so.
Okay.
That he
when he just grabbed the chair, I was like, wow, things have taken a turn.
Priscilla was on board. She's like, wrestling's real.
No, I think he just got really upset and he saw a weapon and he just went in.
It happens on all his dates, basically.
I mean, apparently. Yeah. I was kind of surprised that, like, did he rehearse was the question I saw on Twitter.
Yeah.
Did he rehearse or was it like, you're going to go to this show, like, you'll be the audience plant, they'll engage you and then just like get up there and freestyle. You know what I mean?
It could have gone either way.
Yeah. What's the deal with the chairs? Was that a regular chair or do they
shatter? Those are prop chairs.
Yeah, okay. That's a prop chair.
Yeah, that's a big thing in wrestling.
Okay. I don't know.
Which I do not watch.
I only watch Glow and I now think I am a complete expert in wrestling.
As we learned from I always had a really hard time watching wrestling before Glow because I hate violence, even if it's entertainment violence. And now that I have watched Glow, I watch wrestling and I'm like, oh, they're literally not at all hurting each other in any way.
Yeah, I have such a better understanding. Thank you, Glow, for the education.
Yeah, I thought of it as being sort of like boxing, but rigged. And it turns out it's
nothing
not
like
boxing at all. They're fully just not hitting each other. So that was cute. It seemed like he really enjoyed it. So I forgave the show for giving him another wrestling
date. Crystal seemed in awe of him, which I enjoyed. I mean, Kenny's fantastic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's so lovable. And they did have, like, the fitness power couple vibes going on.
A lot of these fitnessy guys are just really into Crystal's quote-unquote lifestyle. So
I know. I get it. No one wants to just, like, be really fit and then date a girl who sits on the couch all the time drinking wine, whatever.
I don't understand.
Let her show you how fun it is. You'll like it.
I've never found that to be the case. Kenny and Crystal share a very sweaty kiss at the end of their date after Kenny has defended her honor in Lucha Libre. And he says, traditionally, after defending her in a fight, the luchador will give his mask to his lady because she's the only one who can see his
but
true
there
face.
There is no mask here.
I can only give you my mouth as a gift. All and Crystal, I have to give.
I will take it.
Yeah, we get a little of the old
the
Crystal.
Breathy.
Like, like, no, that's the...
She says that she was just hoarse or whatever. That wasn't her real voice, obviously, but she wasn't faking it. It's clearly her dude voice, and she uses it when she wants a dude to be into her. It's so obvious. Meanwhile, back at the house, Jordan is courting Annalise. Jordan came in hard the first day with Annalise. He was like, my mom loves you. You're a beautiful flower. You're everything I want in a wife. And at first, Annalise seemed a little unsure, but then she's in.
She's like, this sure. is my...
She's like, I'm 33. I'm ready to come out of this, engaged and have babies. Why not this 25-year-old model? Who cares? He seems into it.
And he is making effort. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, he sets up a dinner for her, tells her she's brilliant. He loves people who are talented with their hands.
Well, she tells him she's an artist, and like everything she says, he just performatively freaks out. She says, oh, I'm an artist. I refinish furniture. And he's like, oh, my God. Wow. Oh, my God. So I'm just like, the thing about me is I'm obsessed with people who are talented with their hands. That's crazy. That's
inspired.
I did find Annalise's painting Instagram account. She's pretty good.
Ooh, send.
I believe it. So she's very talented with her hands, and Jordan is talented with his brows. So in a way they could
go together.
Be mm-hmm. a physically talented power couple. They're also wearing matching shades of violent pink. So I was in. I was like, I see it. He just wants someone to blonde and cute to sit on a couch with white wine and watch chick flicks. And I think Annalise would be willing to settle for that at this point. She's so desperate to be engaged.
I want better for Annalise.
I mean, yes. I honestly don't think this is the place for her. And everyone keeps talking about this amazing track record that Paradise has. But at this point, it's really two couples out of four seasons.
Two are married.
Yes.
Adam and Raven have been together for more than a year.
That's true.
And they live together. They just moved in.
Okay, fair enough. But, like, that isn't a better track record than, say, The Bachelorette, which has been, like, the past five seasons or so has ended in a relationship. It's still less than one couple per season. So the idea that these people all come in being like, I'm basically guaranteed a marriage and kids out of this is just wild to me.
Yeah, that is not accurate.
No,
everyone
not at
thinks
all.
They're the
at
exception.
At least one baby per person. That's all they're asking.
It's in the contract. Yeah. We won't pay you, but we will saddle you with a child for sure. And she's pretty much won over. She thinks that he's not just like a model. He is deeper. He's sweet. He's romantic. He's someone who looks for those little moments and definitely will not throw her under the bus the minute that another hot blonde
definitely
comes in.
Not. Jordan definitely would not. Never. He seems like quite a selfless person.
He's really dedicated.
I wish that she painted him while she had the chance. He would have been such a beautiful muse.
He would love that.
Yeah. I bet there are lots of photos for her to work from.
And they all have variations on the same pensive face.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the Clint Eastwood is sort of like the pensive gentleman.
Except.
But with
more
the squints.
Squint.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the squinting.
Did you practice
squint.
It? I tried.
I did, but it doesn't look the same when I do it. As when Jordan,
I'm also, you know,
it.
I'm not trying to squint
short,
unnecessarily. Yeah. I don't need more.
Let's be honest.
Fine lines. Okay,
I'm not trying to look like Clint Eastwood over here. That's not me.
Nor am I trying to look like Jordan.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting seeing the difference between male model moves. And I can just imagine a female model being like, I try to make my face be as totally flat as possible while still somehow conveying an emotion.
Smizing.
Smizing. Mm-hmm. I mean, your face is your job. You can't be putting wrinkles in it. So at this point, Yuki shows up. Remember Yuki?
Yuki.
I do.
Yeah. From Emma's like, I'm not into it.
No. I am into it. I'm into the whole Winter Games crew. So I'm here for, you know, as many of them as possible being included.
She's like the bravest person on the planet. I just can't believe she thinks this is fun.
I know.
She does have a translator with her the whole time.
I couldn't even do it as a contestant or as Wells. Someone who is fluent in the language everyone else is using, I would still be exhausted and miserable all the time. And the fact that she's, like, going through a translator, she's trying to, like, pick up things with her limited
Yuki
English.
I think Yuki has more energy than anyone I've ever met.
It's incredible.
Yeah. She's unreal.
Except for maybe Jenna.
Really up there. Except you add the extra element of the constant translation and trying to learn a new language, and I have to give it to Yuki.
That's fair. Yeah.
She has to expend more energy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kevin had a thing sort of going with Crystal because, again, a fitness guy who liked her lifestyle. And he's like, I don't know. I think she's going to be into Kenny after this. I have to move on. Let's try Astrid. And suddenly he and Astrid are a couple.
And we see very little from them the rest of the two episodes, except that they seem to be doing great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. At some point, a new girl comes in and talks to Kevin. He's like, I'm with Astrid. It's pretty solid.
Yeah.
I'm like, she was your backup, but, like, sure.
Kevin does seem sort of like the commitment type.
Yeah.
I mean, from what we've seen of him on these shows.
He's hard to read for me.
Yeah.
I don't really get his vibe, but I like it.
I get the sense that he generally, like, lets the girls sort things out for him, and then he's like, whoever I end up with is fine.
Yeah, I'll marry them, whatever.
Yeah, whatever, sure. But he was engaged to the Canadian Bachelorette.
Yeah,
he won the Bachelorette. So, and then, like, the Ashley thing, I don't think it's necessarily a long-term thing, but he's like, while I'm on the show here, I might as well just, like, whatever hot girl wants to be with me, I will definitely just be with her. It's fine.
Yeah.
And Astrid seems, like, fun.
Yeah.
I like her.
She feels like she's been sort of like a house mom, like,
sorting through everyone's emotions
right.
and articulating all of them. She's one of our rotating set of narrators. Her and Bibby are really picking up some of that job.
Yeah. Oh, I want to point out a weird bit of editing, which is that at Tia, before the rose ceremony, is feeling really good about Colton. She's like, we're in a good place. But then we get footage of Colton throwing a football with Angela and then cut back to Tia being like, I need to talk to Colton. I need to figure this out. And that's when they have their conversation
but
about.
But this is edited out of order, as someone.
Yes,
many
because
people
she
pointed
is
out.
Wearing this off-the-shoulder white lace dress that we later see she's wearing at the rose ceremony. So clearly, Tia didn't see her playing football with Colton, thus sparking that conversation. That happened later. It was very. So it does kind of seem like Tia turned on a dime. I feel like it must have been edited very creatively to show that arc of Tia being fine and then concerned and needing to talk to Colton. But I'm sure that something happened they just didn't feel like showing us. And then it's rose ceremony time.
Finally.
Chris Harrison asks the men if they want to go home or fight for their lives. I wish
that
were
is
just,
the choice. That I wish, is in fact the choice.
I wish it were just a lip sync battle.
I'd be here for that.
So
can there
good.
Be a lip sync battle date?
That
yes.
would be fun.
I mean, I'm like, yes, I'm in charge. It's going to happen.
Well, as long as I have your approval, it's all that matters.
So we have the evening cocktail party where all the guys are jockeying for those last minute roses. Annalise promises her rose to Jordan. Nick tries to talk to Chelsea. Remember Nick? And it goes possibly even worse than the first conversation between them that we saw. He's like, I think it's good. We establish a good connection, but I just want to make sure that we have a more in-depth one. And immediately he walks her over to a private place to talk. And he's like, I'll grab your hand. And she's like, fuck, no, you're grabbing everything else. So he's groping her before they even start talking.
Oh, so God. Cute.
You know, adorable.
Like, what I established with you in 5 minutes is pretty impressive, which is that he's super attracted to her.
He thinks she's a snack.
All I can picture is the the penetrative hand motions.
It wasn't even penetrative. It was like...
No, but they kind of...
It was erotic.
It was the scissoring.
It was scissoring.
It was disturbing, whatever it was.
If a hand could fuck another hand, that's what it would look like, I think. Like, that's the closest you can get.
Except for the finger in the hole. Lest you forget.
I feel like that's more like sign language.
Yeah, that would be a bold move.
Like, if he was just, like, as I'm sure you realize, Priscilla was doing the finger into the tunneled hand gesture. Can you imagine if he was sitting there, like, Chelsea, I'm so into you, like, miming intercourse with this. There's no other
Next
reason
time.
To do that with your hand. So,
I do feel like that was essentially what he was going for anyway.
Slightly more subtle.
I mean, there's no subtlety on this show. It's Bachelor in Paradise, Claire. They have 18 days to get engaged and married and make a baby.
So he sits down with her and is like, what I established with you in 5 minutes was pretty impressive. And this has been, like, more stressful than my real job.
What's his job?
He's a lawyer.
Jesus.
How is this man an attorney? What have we missed?
And at that they wrap things up. Chelsea looks deeply unimpressed and he walks away being like, I'm confident I'm getting a rose. If I don't after that, I have no business being here.
There's been zero evidence that Chelsea feels anything positively towards this person.
It's astonishing. I've never seen someone quite so incapable of reading social cues.
Yeah.
From women specifically, because it seems like he gets along great with the men.
All the men love him.
Joe is, meanwhile, trying to solidify his relationship with Kendall. The men are on the chopping block. Two men are going home. Probably not going to be Joe, but he's making his moves. They toast, and he says cheers, and she says to what? And he pauses for what feels like 45 seconds. And
Joe
then
takes
he says,
his time.
To us.
A creative response.
I think he's as dumb as a box of pears. I think he's extremely dumb. And she's like, oh, that's nice. And then they just laugh a lot. And I think mostly she's just laughing at the fact that he's not that smart. But she feels like it's his
he's
genuine
charm.
He's
very cute, though.
He's so cute.
Oh, my God.
You hate him?
No, he's cute. And that's, like, frustrating because I knew this was going to happen, that everyone was going to put all their eggs in the Joe basket.
I'm still
knowing nothing about
him. I'm still kind
of
into it.
But he doesn't seem douchey. He seems
very
genuine.
He does seem douchey to me.
Like, really? I don't think
so. He's always making comments like, she's hot. She's got a good body. I like her hair and her face and her butt. I'm like, Joe, that's, like, the only thing that you can say other than, like, you're cool. Like, I like you.
Cheers to you.
Cheers to
you. Said.
You.
Don't forget.
Or, like, when Kendall says something interesting at all, he's like, what? I don't know.
You make a compelling argument, and yet his smile still blinds me.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
And this is why, like, cute white dudes get away with everything.
I know. It's not fair.
Yeah. But Colton has, I feel like when Colton talks, I'm just so wary of everything he says. I don't trust
it's
him.
It's true. Why do I automatically trust Joe?
Yeah. It's like you're watching Leonardo DiCaprio just, like, be like, you're cute. And it's suddenly, like, the most beautiful thing you've ever heard.
It's like, why would you doubt Leonardo DiCaprio specifically, not yeah, the other
wow.
one, who I do doubt very much. Yeah, I don't know. I think that I get suspicious of men very easily. It takes just so little for mm-hmm. me to be like, I no longer trust this man.
It's probably a good instinct.
Yeah. And Chris sort of is trying to lock down Tia. He's really upset that Colton is still treating her like a toy he takes on and off the shelf. This is a running theme. I feel like they all sat down and they were like, how do we feel Colton is treating Tia?
Like a,
like,
it's like a doll. It's like a
doll
and you, like, take it off the shelf and then you put it down and then you put it back on the shelf.
And then you,
like,
put it in your pocket and then you take it out of your pocket.
Right, we all know, like, what happens with dolls.
I still have that doll. It's still on my shelf. Yeah. Just sitting there waiting for me to come take it off the shelf.
I keep it in my back pocket until I want to make out with it. I take it out. That's what you do with the dog. We're all still talking about the same thing.
I stroke
right?
her hair.
Yeah, 100%. Still talking about the same thing.
I cry. I kiss it. I say, I love you so much.
And then I put her back on the shelf where she belongs.
On the shelf. So Colton also, or Chris also thinks that Colton is like a book, the same old book that Tia's been reading, and it's time to pick up a new one. It's like, has he never heard of the classics, my man?
Yeah, or like finishing the book. It was just like, stop reading the book and pick up a new one. It's like, where are you in the book?
Yeah. The way most people consume great literature.
It's like, you've been reading that book for like 6 hours, man. Put it down.
It's old news.
Colton and Tia at this point have their big talk, and resolve that they are going to go their separate ways, sort of, while still being on the beach together. And she's like, well, I thought I'd give Colton my rose this morning, but things have changed and it's time to like look elsewhere. So she talks
Fair
to
enough.
Chris. Chris got her sweet tea to make her feel at home. He wants to make her feel like a queen. Just more evidence that just because a guy does nice stuff for you doesn't mean you should trust them. And in fact, you should trust no one. Absolutely no one.
Especially not Goose.
Yeah.
No one who names themselves. Yeah. It's like if a man was like, I'm squirrel, I'm rat, like the rat gang.
Why? Like, it's just me.
The rat like all my, like, yeah, all my least favorite creatures.
Squirrels are cute, though.
Oh, no. No.
What?
They're just. I'm sorry. They're just all like,
not
they're
really.
It's overrun.
I always forget that Emma hates mice, and squirrels are basically big mice with tails.
Yes, I hate mice.
Mice
very
are cute
much.
Too. I'm sorry.
No, it's a common
no, I'm sorry. I don't like any creatures that are in infestations in New York City.
It's very fair.
They lived here first, Emma.
I don't care.
They lived here first.
I still have an irrational phobia of
I
them.
Think we're infesting New York City, if you
That's
really think about
also
it.
Also accurate. And yet, I have.
And yet. Yeah. So Colton makes a last-ditch effort to talk to Angela, who I thought was really into him. She was really flirty with him. She was pulling out all her I like sports too cards.
Interestingly, I think Angela really does care about what the other women think, and she wants to make friends. She seems to have connected pretty well with other people. And so I think she just sort of felt like, why would I stick my neck out and get involved in this?
Mm-hmm. That's true. I think we often do actually see that from people who have barely been on the show, is that they are very eager to be like, I'm part of this. Like, I'm part of the gang. Hey, guys. And they're like, who are you? And they're like, no, I'm here now and I'm cool. And Angela is all in on that. She wants to be part of the gang. So she's sort of like, I heard some stuff and I'm not so sure that I should give you my rose. So he goes up to the Goose Gang to find out who bashed him to Angela, and it was Nick, apparently, and maybe all of them.
He didn't bash, though.
No, he didn't bash. He was just like, Colton is here for Tia and also sucks and is still in love with Becca.
He doesn't know what he wants, and this is paradise. You just can't do that.
You have to know who you want, come in, be laser focused on them the whole
time.
You
have to know exactly who you want until you have the rose, and then you get to play the field. That's how it works.
Then it's time for the rose ceremony. Crystal gives her rose to Kenny, Astrid to Kevin, Tia to Chris, Kendall to Joe, Annalise to Jordan. Then we get into some of the people that we didn't have any idea were talking to each other.
Nisha and Eric. I'm upset that Nisha and Eric have gotten no screen time.
Well, apparently they don't really have a romantic connection. We learn later in the episode.
Right. But I'm saying them as individuals have gotten no screen time. It's a little disappointing.
I'm curious whether either of them had something else going on that we could have seen. But she gives her rose to Eric. Chelsea gives her rose to David.
Apparently, I remember a quick cut where they did talk once. But that's how not into Nick Chelsea is.
Yeah.
She spoke to
Such
David one time, and there's no chance that Chelsea ends up with David. And she's like, yeah, I'll give him my
Poor
rose.
Chelsea. These are some terrible options. Angela gives her rose to John, and Bibby gives her rose to Colton because he deserves to be there and find
Bibby
love.
Bibby is just there to stir shit up.
This was such a producer move.
Oh, yeah. I think that, you know, we discussed this, but it seems like Bibby probably would have given her rose to Wills otherwise.
Yeah, that's
probably.
Sad.
Someone convinced her to not do that.
Yeah, it's about – because I feel like earlier in the episode we saw Bibby talking with some of the others about how Colton just needed to go home.
Mm-hmm.
And then half an hour later, she's like, Colton, you deserve to stay and find love. And I do think she's friendly with Wills, who deserves to stay so much more and is amazing, and I want to see more of his outfits.
Also, there are just a handful of people that, like, David didn't need to be there.
David did not need to be there.
Yeah, why would David? I do wonder if Chelsea sort of thought that Bibi was going to pick Wills or something like that.
I think they all did. They seemed really shocked.
Right. And so she was like, well, I guess I'll save David. I don't know. Like, we saw so little of all these people that I have no,
we have
idea,
no idea what their motivations
were.
Yeah, do they all know? They don't know who the other one's going to pick beforehand, so they don't, like, double
they
up.
They can talk about it. Like, I think the women or the men tend to have conversations with each other, but, you know, people can always
play their cards
close to the chest. Yeah.
They did all seem really shocked that she picked Colton. And I think it was probably relatively last minute that the producers were like, listen, Becca is going to be here tomorrow and you really need to keep Colton here for us.
And I think Bibiana just didn't care that much.
Yeah. And she was like, sure. Like, no skin off my nose to keep Colton. I'm not interested in any of these guys. So, sure. And so it's goodbye to Wills and Nick, who I was really happy to see depart.
But we were robbed of Wills.
Yeah,
it's a bummer.
I am happy for Nick that he's going to go back to
his real job,
his much less stressful life as an attorney. It'll be a vacation after this. Colton is like, this is my time to move on. I'm going to have some peanut butter. I'm going to work out. I'm not Tia's Colton. I'm not Becca's Colton. I'm Colton's Colton. And I'm here to enjoy paradise, baby.
Good for him.
Colton is just sort of like winsome. It's like he's the sweet Southern Belle type woman. Like, he says the things that kind of character would say sometimes.
Totally.
But it's like,
he's like from a Hallmark movie.
Lunky man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He does have a very innocent naivete about him.
Yeah. And he's like, what if I was my own man and I wasn't defined by a woman? And I'm like, I love that you even have to say that. Gender equality.
Colton is such a crazy thing to say.
And he just looks so like he's just had this sunburst of realization that he belongs to himself.
We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back with more on VIP, all the ladies coming in, and of course, Venmo John's shining moments. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Lately, my social battery has actually been full to bursting. I feel like I've barely been able to see anyone all winter, especially with little kids at home and constant daycare bugs. And I'm just like dying to get out there and see some people. And, you know, it's actually been kind of hard at times over the winter to feel like I'm just desperate to see friends and I don't have time to do it.
I feel like we're constantly trying to regulate, like, what's the correct amount of social energy? What kind of space do we need to carve out to actually give ourselves the space to socialize? What space do we need to carve out to give ourselves time to actually recharge? Either way, therapy can give you some self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery or store it up a little too much.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try.
It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
Visit betterhelp.com/lovetoseeit today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/lovetoseeit. If you have a cat, you want your cat to be healthy and happy because, of course, that makes you happy.
But since, you know, people aren't mind readers, we don't always know when our cats are unwell.
So helping us keep tabs on our cat's health is just one reason you should use Pretty Litter.
Pretty Litter's ultra-absorbent crystals trap odor instantly. No more cat bathroom smell.
Pretty Litter's super light crystal base also minimizes mess and dust.
Here's the coolest thing about Pretty Litter. It actually changes color to help monitor early signs of potential illness in your cats, including urinary tract infections and kidney issues.
Plus, Pretty Litter ships free right to your door in a small, lightweight bag.
Our producer, Talon, has started using Pretty Litter for his cats, and he is a huge fan already. He's found that, like, the crystals really do soak up that odor, and cleaning the litter box is easier than it's ever been because it doesn't get all like weird and clumpy inside, which I remember so well from cleaning my cat's litter box.
Pretty Litter helps keep tabs on your cat's health and keep odors down.
You and your cat are going to love Pretty Litter as much as we do.
Go to prettylitter.com/LTSI and use code LTSI to save 20% on your first order.
That's prettylitter.com/LTSI, code LTSI to save 20%.
prettylitter.com/LTSI, code LTSI.
Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Are you one of those people who thinks they don't have time to prioritize wellness?
Yeah, guilty.
Well, Claire, Allo Moves is here to change that whole mindset for you.
The app makes it so easy to keep your wellness routine on track because they have everything in one place. There's yoga, Pilates, fitness classes. There's mindfulness and self-care tips, even healthy recipes, and so much more.
It's kind of wild how far-reaching Allo Moves goes. And their classes range from 5 minutes to an hour. It really just depends on what you have time for that day.
Trying to get in a good sweat? Then you've got to try their award-winning workouts like sweat-inducing yoga flows, HIIT classes, or reformer Pilates workouts with or without weights.
Or you can find stress relief with things like meditations, affirmations, or face yoga.
It's so hard to prioritize wellness when you have a busy job or kids or both. And now that I have both, it's so important to me to be able to squeeze in a workout when I have that random 5 minutes to an hour in between tapings after bedtime. It makes such a big difference how flexible it is and how easy it is to get what you need from the app.
Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves.
Go to allomoves.com now and use code LTSI20 for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code LTSI20.
allomoves.com, code LTSI20. One in five Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list.
If, like us, that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel.
Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 150 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks.
Studies from Yale, Michigan State University, and others continue to prove Babbel is better.
One study even found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college.
Oh man, could have saved so much time. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. I recently was in France and Portugal, and I was trying my hand at getting more comfortable with French, really brushing up a little bit, and I found Babbel so helpful. I'm not going to say that I like arrived all fluent, but I did feel much more comfortable ordering food in restaurants, asking for directions, reading signs, speaking to people when I was buying something without having to constantly be consulting a language app.
Here's a special limited time deal for listeners.
Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/LTSI.
Get 55% off at babbel.com/LTSI.
Spelled BABBEL.com/LTSI.
Rules and restrictions may apply.
Let me set the scene. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at actually unbeatable prices.
I love it.
Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach.
Like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. We truly love to see it.
By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes.
I love Quince, and I actually have a couple recent Quince purchases that I'm really excited about. I just ordered the Glow Boho hoops to have like kind of a chunkier version of my usual gold hoops to wear. Like
maybe on a date night or something, and they are beautiful. They're everything I dreamed of.
Indulge in affordable luxury.
Go to quince.com/LTSI for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/LTSI to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/LTSI.
So, obviously, it's time to blow things up because Chris Harrison is here with a surprise, and Angela, our resident bachelor expert.
She is an expert.
She knows things are about to get crazy if Chris Harrison's here, right?
What an idiot. Someone is here. Oh, but first, all the men have to depart because this is ladies only time.
Yeah. Hey. And it's Becca. Becca's here. I couldn't even get excited for that.
I thought we were done with The Bachelorette.
Me too. I feel sort of bad. I mean, I shouldn't because, like, she's famous and is making a ton of money from, like, SponCon and stuff. I do always feel sort of bad for The Bachelorette after it's over. And everyone's like, oh, my God, get off our TV screens. We hate you now. But I do want her to get off my TV screen.
Hate Becca. I just want to move on.
I want to move on.
I wish her all the happiness in the world. But I want to move on.
I feel like it would be hard to be at Paradise and see her come to as just like the princess who now has everything. And you're just pathetically fighting over her leftover men.
sweating profusely. Yeah,
doing to humiliate yourself.
And she shows up fresh faced just out of the hotel.
Perfect. Happily engaged.
And I don't think Becca has pores, so.
I know. It's insane. It's reached the point I've been watching so much Bachelorette and over the past few weeks that now when I see pores on my own face, I'm like, what are those? Like, shouldn't my skin be totally flat?
Yeah, my friend Miriam was texting me last night being like, I really have to up my skincare routine because these women's faces are just...
I'm just going to throw it out there. It's genetics.
I know.
That is nothing.
The problem. My skin will never be as nice as...
Yeah.
Any of these women.
Especially on the beach. I don't know how they do it.
Right. Oh, gosh. Within 5 minutes, I would just look disgusting.
It makes me really sad to see how hard they work to put on their makeup. And I'm like, guys, it's going to be gone real soon.
They never get bug bites or weird rashes.
I'm always
sunburned. I think sometimes they do.
They must.
Yeah. I don't know. It sounds like Paradise was a little bit of a rough time for self-care.
While I was watching on my couch last night, I got a mosquito bite on my forehead. I was in an air-conditioned, like, central air apartment building, and
it's
I got a mosquito bite on my forehead.
Putting you in your place.
Colton has... spotted that it might be Becca. Kenny goes up to do recon. He comes back and is like, yeah, man, it's Becca. Sorry to deliver the bad news, he says, grinning. And Colton loses his shit.
This was very sad.
It was sad.
I mean, I feel like Colton's narrative all through Becca's season was he doesn't really care about her. He's just trying to, like, bide his time for Tia. And it's really hard for me to believe that he could fake that many tears. Like, most people are not that talented. It wasn't like he got choked up. It wasn't like he rubbed his eyes a lot. He was sobbing.
I think he was genuinely panicking.
Yeah, I think he was really upset.
I bought it. Maybe I'm a sucker, but I found him to be pretty genuine in these few episodes, and I found it to be pretty affecting also to see this guy they've sort of built up as this, like, football player or whatever. And he's just having a genuine reaction to a tough breakup that happened recently.
Yeah, when he gave his speech about always having to be Mr. Perfect.
Oh, my God. I wrote some of that down. It was so real. He was talking to David in his bunk. He, like, left the group because he was so upset and crying and talking to David. And he's like, I was in love and this breakup was really difficult, but I had to pretend that it was all good because I'm supposed to be perfect and this is supposed to be easy. I'm supposed to have the perfect everything.
Aww.
The pressure of being a hot white man
No, it's easy
to forget that it can really weigh on a guy.
This is why feminism is good for everyone.
It really is.
That's true.
It be vulnerable, Colton. Don't have the perfect everything.
And he is being vulnerable.
Exactly. He's spiraling out of control.
Yeah, but I'm enjoying it.
Me too.
You know,
part of it.
This is why I think we need, you know, a bachelor like Blake who would just lose it and weep a lot.
I'd like
to watch that.
Yeah.
Like watching Ari, I was like, does Ari feel anything? Emotions of any kind? I don't think so.
He loves that. That's about it.
And meanwhile, Tia's talking to Becca, which it must be such a weird conversation because if I'm Becca, I'm like, you're already dating my ex. If I'm Tia, I'm like, I was really into this guy and you kind of like tossed him aside like garbage and I'm still obsessed with him. I would feel kind of lame. Like, I feel like this is just an awkward dynamic for both of them. And Becca kind of gets the 411 from Tia that Colton is
not okay,
that he isn't sure what he wants, that he's being wishy-washy with Tia. And so she sits down with Colton and he says, this has brought back feelings I didn't know I had. And she says, feelings for Tia. And I thought she sounded a little annoyed at that. Like, I feel like Becca is struggling to like be a good friend to Tia, even though she really wanted Colton and Tia to not have a thing like a month ago.
I mean, it sucks that her job is to come in here and like push Colton towards her.
Right.
Like, get out there, tiger.
Yeah. Like, get with my friend, buddy.
Yeah. Right. Because they did have a longer relationship, or at least as long a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And presumably spent more in-person time together.
Yeah. And yeah, like she met his family. Like, they spent a day together in his hometown. Like, I feel like that must be very strange. So then they talk about how they didn't really talk things through when they broke up. And she reassures him that Tia's revelation did not, like, push her towards dumping him, which I feel is a complete lie. And
I think Becca was looking for a reason to eliminate
Yes.
someone, and that was...
I think she felt fine that it would be Colton at that point.
Yes.
And that's enough. Do I think the Tia thing was a factor? Yes. However, she doesn't need to tell him that. Some things are better kept secret. And she tells him how, like, hard The Bachelorette was, and she hit really low points, but in the end it was rewarding and worth it. And Colton, you're so strong. You
just
can
have
do
to
this.
Push through, buddy.
Do you she's believe like, in love or not?
Yeah. Get out there. And she's like, I find it really attractive that you cry and are imperfect. And I think
those
girls
agree.
Will too.
Yeah. Yes. I too find it attractive.
Cry more, Colton.
Yeah.
Cry for us.
And she's like, maybe this is the kick in the ass you need. And he's like, yeah, it was a big ass kick in the ass. It was so big. Suddenly he's like super chipper. They must have talked for kind of a while.
Yeah, I think this was an extended conversation that got way edited down.
Yeah. But it's interesting. I also feel like, I mean, maybe this will all play out, but it reminded me of going through a breakup and being like, I can't do this, and then having a talk with the guy. And by the end being like, it's good. I'm fine. But really a big part of that was just that I was high off of having his attention again.
Totally.
And then like afterwards, like the more that it's like, oh, that was just a breakup conversation and now we are still not dating, I would kind of definitely lose that high. Like, I think Colton is just like high off of having Becca's attention for a little bit again.
Yeah, her advice wasn't great.
No.
It was just kind of like, don't screw this
up, buddy.
Yeah.
Power through. Find love at all costs.
Yeah.
Your mental health, your happiness, doesn't matter.
Sacrifice yourself for this franchise.
Sacrifice yourself to date someone. And but he at this moment seems smiling, big, big smile, happy, comes up to the guys. He's like, I got closure. I'm ready to open up.
And meanwhile, all the men are like, yeah, he should definitely go home. He is not stable enough. He wept once. He should leave this place so that we don't have to deal with him as competition for our women. That is the vibe I got.
Oh, 100%. But I did kind of want him to leave and then for them to be like, guess we'll have to bring Wills back. But that was a pipe dream, you guys. It wasn't going to happen. And Chris is really upset that this is going to prevent him from finding love with Tia, which Sure. Being a virgin, it's an emotional type of thing, says Chris.
What the fuck is he talking about at any time?
Does he mean that dating is an emotional type of thing when you're a virgin? Just that being a virgin is an emotional thing? I can say that it's really just a default state of being that does not make you emotional from day to day, from my experience. I think we can all speak to our experience with that. And Chris is like, well, the goose is not concerned. The goose is very concerned.
I wish the goose would stop referring to himself in the third person.
I love it, honestly. I'm in. I'm calling him the goose now. Things are chill now. The rose ceremony's over. People are hanging out. Annalise is fully in on Jordan. She thinks he's going to be an amazing husband.
Narrator voice. He will not be an amazing
So it's time to shake things up. We're getting like a deluge of women. There were only two extra men to be disposed of at the first rose ceremony. There are going to be like four women, extra women.
Classic.
It's so unfair.
Yeah.
So here comes Jenna. She is wearing a two-piece millennial pink outfit, and her hair is also millennial pink.
She looks quite good.
It's about to get coconuts, and she's an alien. There's a lot going on.
I feel like she's trying to do an Ashley S with all this, but it comes off as more like she's high. I'm weird. I'm an alien, but I'm friendly. I can unzip my skin. And then she like jiggles her shoulders and then gets distracted, I think, by how fun it is to jiggle her shoulders and starts just like jiggling them because it like feels good. And I was like, I've only seen people act like this when they were very high. Like it's, but I think she's just like that.
Yeah.
All the time.
Oh, it seems to be quite genuine. I mean, all the women seem excited to see her. She seems really well liked. And they also kind of say, like, yeah, this is just how she is. This is her natural state of being.
I cannot even begin to grasp it. It's...
I would be exhausted after, you know, being her for 5 minutes.
I'm exhausted being around people like that. Having her on my TV screen made me very tired. That's nothing against her. It's more just my own personal, like... lack of energy.
As an earthling.
it's hard to relate to aliens sometimes.
It's hard.
Yeah. I was imagining myself trying to say a coconuts-esque intro bit, and that just takes so much confidence.
I know.
Just to by yourself, like, dance and, yeah, coconuts!
I always think of that when they show a little edited clip of someone doing something like that and in the moment, and I'm like, they just had to stand there with a bunch of people staring at them silently and do that
and maybe do it again if they're like, that wasn't quite right.
Maybe try a bunch of different stuff like that while there are just people staring at them with cameras in silence. There's no background music or, like, effects. She's got that. She's got that special something. She walks in. Jordan immediately falls passionately in love with her.
They look a lot alike.
They're
which I think is exactly why Jordan is into her.
yeah.
It's the most important thing to him.
Also, someone says later that they had heard Jordan talking about how he's excited for when Jenna arrives. So
yeah.
Clearly,
Kevin says that he had said multiple times that morning that he hoped Jenna was coming that day. So it's not just that he was swept off his feet. It's that he courted Annalise really hard, assured her that he wanted to, like, get married to her after this. And was definitely just waiting for Jenna to come, which not a great look. They kind of downplayed it because I remember with Joe and Julia a few seasons ago, it was a big deal when he did that.
Everyone just seems thrilled that these two have found each other.
Yeah.
They might actually be a great match.
Yeah, Annalise didn't seem to really vibe that much.
I think everyone loves Annalise, but sort of is like, Annalise, no, this is not. This is not a good dude for you.
I honestly got the vibe, and this is not fun for me to say, that they don't care that much about Annalise.
Yeah,
that they
think
like
that
knew
too.
It was bad that they didn't care, but they didn't care.
That's true. Who says
right
it later explicitly?
Yeah,
Astrid says people keep gushing and forgetting that Annalise is literally right there.
Yeah.
They seem to really like Jordan. Most people.
Yeah,
which is kind of funny.
They seem to find Jordan amusing.
Mm-hmm.
And he is, to be clear, like a terrible person.
And
however,
also is amusing.
However, yes. I do think that he and Jenna are a great match. And so I understand everyone being like, oh, my God, of course. Like, I see it. But it's just poor Annalise. Like, I feel like she just shouldn't be here. I feel like this isn't her scene. And watching Jordan with Jenna is hysterical because they're just so reactive to each other. Like, she'll just, like, clap her hands and they'll be like, I love how you clap your hands. It's amazing because, like, that's what my eyes do when someone, like, says something. And I'm like, oh, my God, now you're just, like, doing it. And I love the way that you stick out your tongue.
And
oh,
Jordan's
my God.
Like, you're hot. You're something. Oh, wow. It's like a girl version of me. I love you. Like, this is perfect. Jordan just wants to date himself.
Yes,
definitely.
Because he is a true narcissist. So this is perfect.
And what he's dating is a version of himself who just laughs more.
And has breasts.
So, like, it's not even that they're exactly the same. It's that every time that he says something like, I want someone who understands the brows, she just laughs for, like, 20 minutes afterwards. And he's like, right? I'm really funny. I'm so funny. This is amazing.
She's not just entertained by him. She gets him.
She does get him. He says, I'm subscribing to whatever she's got going on. That's all I know. Poor Annalise apparently spends the entire day talking with different women about how she's basically in that first flush of love when you're in a bubble and you two don't notice anyone else. She and Jordan are right there. They're just obsessed with each other. They're in their own little world. They're the strongest couple there. Meanwhile, Jordan is telling Tia that he is, like, obsessed with Jenna. And Jenna gives him the date card. The date.
He doesn't even talk to Annalise.
He doesn't talk to her. I mean, there was a lot of that this episode of people being like, I sort of thought he'd talk to me, but that has not happened, I think, a single time yet.
People are just like, oh, I got asked on a date? Yep.
Yeah, exactly. There's a point where John is sitting with Carolyn later under his arm.
That was brazen.
Yeah, that's
brazen.
Sucks.
Julie walks up and asks him out, and he just, like, yanks his arm out from under. Carolyn is like, great, yes, bye, and, like, doesn't even really.
She's like, should I go?
Okay, we'll get to that, but I really felt for Caroline in that moment.
So Jordan and Jenna go horseback riding. He has to boost her up by the butt cheeks, as she puts it, and they both enjoy that, and it's really nice for them. He asked what made her the way she is, and she's like, I had a big family. And he's like, I love the huge smile you give when you're about to answer a question. I just love that so much. It's like he doesn't even listen to the answer. He doesn't listen to the answer, and it doesn't matter because she doesn't seem to care if he's listening to the answer.
Totally.
They both just want excuses to talk about how much they love each other's reactions and to, like, laugh a lot.
Yeah, when he keeps talking about her clapping when she laughs and him doing that with his eyes, is that blinking? Like, what does that mean?
I'm sorry. I was laughing through a mouthful of mimosa. I kept imagining him crossing his eyes and then uncrossing him as being a clapping motion.
Yeah, I kept thinking of, like, a song that was like, make those eyes clap.
Back at the house, Annalise is slowly losing her mind. At first, she's like, I'm still confident. I think we're definitely going to build off of this and get engaged at the end of this. She's like, I'm going to have a ring on this finger at the end. And then by the end, she's like, oh, no.
This is not happening.
Oh, no. Jordan and Jenna just have a lovely time. He says, Jenna has the potential to take me off the market, which is just the highest compliment a man can give.
All those Tinder matches.
It's a big sacrifice.
How will
him?
The market yeah. bear up under his loss? To be honest, who are all those women going to be matching with?
It will plummet.
He's the only person who lives in his town in Florida, apparently, other than manatees. So it's going to be really tough. And they make out on the beach, et cetera, et cetera. Jordan is ready to propose, basically. And finally they arrive back after making out heavily outside the door. And she's wearing only a tiny bikini.
We need to talk about all of this making out.
There was so much.
Yeah.
The neck kissing was so... I was cringing. I was trying to hide... in my couch, just burrow between the cushions. And I don't usually react that strongly to people making out on this show. We've seen it a lot, but this was just.
I prefer not to think of Jordan as sexual.
Very
in any
particular.
Way. I think of him as being like a Ken doll in every way. And I
He's
mean,
a very
that quite
aggressive
literally.
Kisser.
It was just, a lot.
It was everywhere.
I didn't hate it.
Priscilla is very sex positive.
I'm like Jordan to positive. Consider myself sex positive yeah. as well, and I could not.
I'm a radical.
It was too
I
much.
Approve of Jordan's sexuality. Very open.
I approve of Jordan's sexuality. I would just like to witness less of it.
It's fair.
Yeah, just like don't shove it down my throat, you know, Jordan. God. So they waltz in. Annalise is sitting there, and he takes her aside. To break the news as gently as he knows how by saying his day with Jenna was awesome, the romantic connection was awesome. He spent more time with Jenna than he'd ever spent with Annalise, to be fair. And also, he had this crazy romantic connection with Jenna that never happens. And so it just will be really hard to catch things up with him and Annalise. But, like, I'm going to give her my rose. And but if Jenna dumps him, then he will save a place for Annalise on his sub bench.
Because he likes her as a person.
He thinks she deserves to find love. And if he can give it to her as a consolation prize because Jenna dumped him, then
what
at least he'll have done one good thing in his life. He'll be like, who's that guy in A Tale of Two Cities? And be like, it is a far better thing I'm doing today than I've ever done before. She's giving my broken, bloodied heart to this woman who's fine, really, but like, and deserves love.
I appreciated that he made the move to pull her aside and be direct. And yet,
so direct.
Perhaps one should deliver news like this with just an ounce of sensitivity to the other person's feelings.
He was like, and Jordan, it was nuts. It was insane.
He was like, it was so good. It was the best day I've ever had. Yeah. Nothing like this happens. It was magic. You exist. It was magic. It was such magic.
Our time
I won't
does
be
not
giving
compare
you
at I, all.
Yeah. He was like, here's the thing. It's definitely you, and that you did not strike me as being as good as Jenna in any way. And I just want to be really clear that, like, if I can't get the thing I really want, I will go back for some of this lesser thing you've got going on, but it's definitely you, and I just want to be honest. Like, it was, like, why? Why? What purpose
says,
did it serve?
I'm very perceptive, and I think Jenna's going to wait for this to play out with me because I have literally already told her that she's getting my rose. I'm very perceptive.
Jenna, honestly ends up playing the field more than I expected already, but there are four women on the chopping block this week. Of course she's going to accept a rose.
Well, exactly. It doesn't require, a depth of perception.
No. And which Jordan doesn't have.
Absolutely
anyway.
Not.
So poor Annalise is blindsided. She's upset. She's in tears. She's scared that she might have missed out on that forever person. I don't know who she's referring to here, but I really hope it's not Jordan. Like, at that point, to be like, that is the man that would have been my forever person, and I missed out.
It's sad, yeah.
And a great guy. It really seems so far like every person who goes on a date after they've already gone on one is just like, I'm with the new person now. Like,
yeah,
it's fully just who.
Short-term yeah. memory crew. But a lot of good people.
Yeah. I mean, they're really elevating the game as it goes on, so... And at this point, David decides to make a little play for Jenna.
David.
It's her birthday, so he brings her a cake with candles.
At this point, David's just going for anyone who shows interest in Jordan.
He already sat down
with Annalise earlier. Like, David, just stop. I mean, I suppose at this point, David had not seen how negative the reaction to his behavior was.
True.
And I wonder if he would have perhaps backed off a bit.
Or at least not used the exact same line on Annalise. Which is, Jordan would settle for you.
He also said to Jenna, I'm an honest guy. He just has a set of lines that he uses to describe himself and to describe Jordan. And he just recycles them.
Makes Jordan look so good. It's insane.
I know.
It's hard
and Jordan
to do.
Isn't yeah. good, but yeah. David does himself no favors.
They're both really bad. And, like, it's a shame because I do think that Jordan felt like he would be settling for Annalise if that's what played out. But I couldn't buy that from David at all because that's clearly just his line that he uses. But now he's going in on Jenna, and he's like, "Listen, I'm very interested in you. I think you're so great. Tell me why you took Jordan on a date. Like, walk me through your reasoning." And she's like, "Oh, well, Jordan's fun, and it was fun." And he's like, "Well, listen, I also like fun, as evidenced by this conversation.
Isn't it so fun?"
Which is probably the most fun I've had in years. But I'm not just here for a summer fling, and I bet you're here for something more serious, which is not something I pick up on from Jenna at all.
No, Jenna is here for a black box.
100%. And Jordan finally notices that the woman he has clearly already decided he's going to marry is talking with David. So he sidles up, and this is where David really gets to shine, by saying, "You missed her birthday celebration. I'm glad we got to celebrate your birthday." Around 40 times.
Jordan's face is just darkening by the moment.
Jenna's like, "My birthday ended." And David's like, "It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter." Yeah. It's still, like, fun.
"Well, we still got you a cake. Yeah. So I think we killed it. And we did
we love this cake. It's the best.
Shut up, Jenna. You're not important here. This isn't about you.
This is between me and Jordan and the birthday and the holiness of birthdays in general."
It's like, "I love birthdays so much. It's so important to me. I'm really glad we got to celebrate it. I don't know if I mentioned it earlier, but, like, I really liked celebrating your birthday with you. And
They're
I'm really
meaningful.
Glad.
Yeah.
So meaningful." Jordan just, like, sits there silently until David leaves, wraps things up, says goodbye. He's like, "Mission accomplished."
I loved where David goes, "Things do change. Things do change." It's so sinister.
There's this running theme of people just being like, "Things change so quickly in paradise, don't they?"
It's like, what a do you mean?
And what David means is that suddenly I will show interest in every girl that Jordan is dating, just to make him squirm just a little bit.
But as we learn, Jordans don't sweat David's.
He says this to Jenna, which is bad tactical. Like, it's a bad tactic to be like, "I'm not worried about you. I don't think I have any competition for you, and it's fine." And Jenna's just like, "Okay, well, he seems really nice, and I like his sense of humor, and he's serious about a relationship, so I think he seems great, actually." And I'm like, Jordan, you set this up for her.
But Jordan means that in the least arrogant way. So she just has to take it the right way.
Of course.
I love how in Paradise, if you say you have a sense of humor and it's important to you, then that's, like, the equivalent of making a joke. She's like, "He clearly has a sense of humor because he talked about humor. I, too, say that I like humor, so we both are very funny."
It's true. It's like saying that you want to be engaged is the same thing as being good at commitment.
Totally.
Like, everything is just described, listing your resume.
Yeah.
Jenna's like, "Okay, well, I may be interested in David now." And he's like, "Oh, well, he got you a cake. That's smooth. I kind of feel like throwing it." And she's like, "Do it." I love that. "Do it."
Throw the fucking cake.
And he does throw it, but not hard enough. So he throws it again.
Throws it again. I mean, it looked like delicious cake, but it seemed like she'd already had a lot of it. So fair. If someone got me a delicious cake and then someone else, like, destroyed it, I'd be really upset.
So this part then leads into Jordan's extended monologue in which he tries to draw an analogy between him and David to Mr. Rogers.
First, he's like, "I don't know what his issue is. I don't know if it's because I matched with his mom on Tinder or what." I mean, he might have. He matched with every other woman in the entire world on Tinder. Yeah, and then he's like, "He's, like, the opposite of Mr. Rogers. I don't want to be your neighbor." Where did Mr. Rogers come from here? Are they all talking about the Mr. Rogers documentary? Because I hear
yeah,
it's
that's
really good.
That's probably what it was.
That's probably the big, like, chatter around the lunch table in Bachelor in Paradise. They're like, "What about Mr. Rogers?" Right? He really changed the game in children's television back in the day.
Brought by back the end, television for children.
And somehow Jordan concludes that he's actually Mr. Rogers.
Yeah.
Which
he also
is upsetting.
Brought back television for children.
Yeah. Because Mr. Rogers did something. Jordan has done nothing. And David has done nothing. And Jordan has done something. And therefore, he is Mr. Rogers. It's tight
science.
Logic.
What's your question?
I have no questions. I love it. And he insists on leaving the palapa with Jenna because it smells like a chicken. It smells like a chicken in here. That's a pretty weak one, I thought, from Jordan. But
he's done better.
Jenna is amused by everything he says, or anything anyone says, quite honestly.
It was reminding me of when Jordan said he was a golden retriever to Becca, and they both are very golden retrieverish together in a cute way. They're both like little bouncy puppy golden babies.
It's so true. And then we see some other conversations that are happening. Eric is trying to get with Angela.
They make out.
He's like, home run, baby. I hit a home run. Dances.
And then okay. Caroline Lenny from Ari season arrives.
Walks right in.
And she's so nervous.
I know.
I felt for her. I really did.
I have never seen someone come into Paradise and have their first bathroom break televised.
Yeah. Like,
I'm sure that they all have to go to the bathroom at some point, but they were really like, let's show Carolyn being like, I have to go to the bathroom. Where is it? And
that's definitely would be my entrance on the show. I felt for her so hard on this.
It's a new atmosphere. She's coming in alone. She has this date card. She's like, wait, where is everything? Where am I supposed to go? I'm doing so badly. She's definitely been in a hotel for several days, sitting there waiting to be like beckoned out and sent down.
I think it's like the Kentucky Derby. They like keep them in the starting gate stall. Mm-hmm. And then they're finally like, go, go, go. And she's like, I've just been standing here, you know.
Gotta go.
She does seem nervous right from the beginning. She is like, oh, David, I've met you. I don't have to talk to you. You guys seem like you're like a thing. Whatever. It's fine. I'm going to go find someone to talk to. And they're like, oh, my God. And she finally goes and pulls Joe.
Leaves him to go to the bathroom.
It seems like he thinks she's coming back and she thinks they're done talking.
Well, they do a nice editing job to make it seem like Joe is just sitting there for the rest of the night and has not moved and has not figured out that she isn't coming back.
Because then they keep having clips of other people being like, has anyone seen Joe?
I was like, this is fun in the editing room right here. I love that when they do that kind of stuff on BIP.
I think it's entirely possible that there was some lack of clarity about whether she was coming back or whether they were done talking, and they've just really played it up.
Yeah, I agree that that existed. I don't think he was sitting there for hours on end.
For weeks.
He never saw Joe again.
Kendall found his like skeletal remains later, and she was like, this is what I really wanted.
No.
Anyway.
Oh, hey.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, I'm
going to
play my ukulele, his skeleton forever.
Caroline finally kind of chills the fuck out once she starts talking to John.
Meanwhile, Bibby is sort of talking to Jordan about Caroline in front of the group, and he's like, I'm not her cup of tea. And Bibby's like, you're my cup of tea. Bibby's just the house flirt. And he says, no, Caroline is like beautiful, but she gives me stepmom vibes. Like, I don't want to undress in front of her because I don't know what could happen. I don't want her to come crawl into my bunk bed in a kimono, nothing else on. Like, I made you a pizza.
If that is your association with
porn.
Stepmothers, that is.
He has watched so much stepmom porn. It's like, I'm like, have you met a real stepmom? Like,
that is
in your
not
life?
That is not normal behavior.
No. It's like, I've heard of stepmoms, but mainly from pornography, for sure.
In a kimono.
Also, why are you watching stepmom porn if you're not into the vibe? Like, that's
it's
my
true.
Other question.
He's and more really into my David's mom. Different.
More into moms,
yeah.
Specifically. John was, like, into Caroline at first. She was someone that he thought was really pretty. He's really nervous to meet her. He offers her his seltzer, and he's like, well, as long as you don't have cooties. And she's like, I don't know. And he's like, I'll risk it this time.
It's cute. Yeah.
I wrote, oh, my God, these dorks.
Yeah. I was into them.
I know.
They were very sweet.
It was really, to me, like a seventh grade like playground vibe of like cooties. No, we're over cooties now. We're so mature.
I
love
it.
We're still gonna talk about it.
That like adorable little banter that you have with someone when you're clicking right away. It's such a satisfying feeling. I enjoyed watching it.
I'm a little nervous to watch them. Or I feel like when he made the cooties comment, she clearly didn't really have cooties, but then she was like, oh, I don't know.
I mean, what are you gonna say? No one has cooties.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, it's not an actual thing. Priscilla's like, wait, what? I've been giving myself a booty shot every time.
That explains so much about her daily habits.
Circle, circle,
I don't need to wash my hands.
Yeah, I just...
The cootie shot is all you need. Hand washing has nothing to do with cooties. Yeah. Also, I don't think you can catch cooties from a from sharing a drink.
It's like, very scientific.
That was never my understanding. So she asked John out, and it's basically like, usually I go for Canadians and jocks. So I'm going against type.
Specifically Canadian jocks. So probably. Kevin.
I know, but Kevin was not available.
Right.
Kevin was like, I have a lady.
But Caroline seems genuinely into John. He really puts her at ease. She was so nervous, and you could just see her relax when they were together.
But they do have a really fun... This is, like, the magic of editing, too. We have no idea what most of their conversation was like, but they only show the section where she can't answer a single question he asks her or listen to anything he's
saying.
Animals
keep running by.
And she keeps getting distracted by the animals, which is, I think, normal.
It's normal. They were, like... these animals were just running by everywhere around them. There was, like, a kitten, and then there was a puppy, and then, like, there was a frog at one point.
Was a cat chasing a frog?
Yeah. How did you not look? I would get very distracted.
That's what the show should be about.
Planet Earth, Bachelor in Paradise.
I know. You know, Bachelor in Paradise has a little bit of a wildlife element.
Yeah.
A lot of crabs.
Yeah, they love to use the crabs as a character. We've had raccoons.
At one point, I think Astrid is first hooking up with Kevin, and a little lizard runs onto her.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, right.
They're really one with the elements here in Sayulita. They're just taking the nature in. And Caroline and John start naming the animals.
Sheila.
Sheila's the cat. Freddy. The dog is Freddy. As we all know, dogs are boys and cats are girls. This is just science. It's biology. And they dance to a mariachi band. They talk about how amazing the results of the paradise dating process are.
They both believe in it.
Yeah.
And John says he needs a woman who keeps him grounded because he's a hopeless romantic.
But also
very analytical.
I related to that. Those things can go together.
In you and in John.
Yeah. And you need someone who is neither of those things, really, to ground you.
Someone who hates love.
And critical thinking.
And analysis.
Yeah.
So in the morning, I noticed Caroline is talking to Crystal about how amazing their date was. Didn't Caroline and Crystal have, like, beef on the show?
I think everyone has just squashed their beef with Crystal, pretty much.
Apparently. They had, like, major beef. Like... shouting at each other.
I feel like if Crystal has managed to hang out with both Tia and Kendall at this point, her beef with Caroline was so tertiary to all the other beef.
But like for Caroline, I feel like her beefs were the main thing that she had. So I thought maybe it would show up more. But no, she like very quickly is like, Caroline and I are, or Crystal and I are cool now. Crystal is definitely, I think, flourishing in this multi-guy setup where she doesn't need to fight for the attention of a single man. And
she's a hot commodity.
She is.
Yeah.
But she also doesn't have to be in every other girl's relationship because she's not necessarily sharing the guy with them. So she's like, you do your thing. And here comes Jubilee.
Jubilee is into smart, nerdy guys. So we know that they have sent her in to throw a wrench in this John Caroline thing. This is what they do. The production is very intentional about things like this. It's like when we saw Wells go on 3 dates in a row. Mm-hmm. John is the new Wells.
And it's funny because you also see it get in the heads of the other guys. And it's like, no one's into me. John is getting all the dates. And it's like, well, I'm sure there are people out there who are into you as well. But they are not sending those people in right now for a reason. And she... pulls Kevin first, and she's like, so are you seeing anyone? And he's like, yeah, I made a connection with Astrid. And she's like, Ashley? And he's like, Astrid. Ashley? No, Astrid. Poor Kevin's like, twist the knife a little harder into my heart. And she does end up asking John on the date.
And they have another great date.
Yeah.
So cute.
It was just whiplash for me emotionally because I was very into John and Caroline, and then I was very into John and Jubilee. It was a lot to take in.
They have a great conversation about not fitting in with other contestants because of their race and, like, their profile.
I loved that this was spoken about pretty openly. And, I mean, it was, you know, one line, of course. We want to see these things discussed so much more. But it was really, really refreshing to see two contestants of color speak about this together and kind of bond over it. And also just for the show to highlight that and acknowledge its own kind of overwhelming whiteness. I appreciated that.
It would have been easy to edit that out, so I'm glad that they didn't. Who knows what they did edit out, you know, could have gotten a lot more in depth.
They also talk about her history in the military as a programmer.
Yeah, they talked about jobs. Yeah.
And I forgot that she was a cellist. These are all things that are coming back to me from her time on Ben's season. Yeah, Jubilee's totally brilliant.
Yeah. She finds out he's a software engineer, and she's like, well, I worked with radio and computers in the military, and they talk about the differences in the kinds of systems they worked
software
with.
Software versus hardware.
Right?
It's like, I've never not understood a conversation on a show before. What's happening?
They just step their game up a little bit, and we're all like, I'm sorry, you've lost us. We don't understand what's happening. Could you talk maybe about whether you really want to come out of this with a relationship?
John also addresses the fact that he feels like people make assumptions about him based on how much money he has, which was also interesting.
Yeah, he shares that he was the designer of the iPhone Venmo app, and she's like, whoa.
Understandably.
Why are you here?
That is a really fair question.
And I felt like she was breaking the fourth wall. Like, she was like, for real? Let's just pause the state for
a
second.
She was just taken aback. She's like, wait, you're not a personal trainer? What's happening?
What are you doing? I also love that Jubilee is like, people don't think I'm a nerd, but I was in orchestra until sophomore year of high school.
I know. I did laugh at that.
I died. I was like, Jubilee, I'm sure, is very smart and very accomplished, but being in orchestra until sophomore year does not a huge fucking nerd make. I'm sorry.
Most people were in orchestra or band at least through middle school. So
yeah,
making it an extra 2 years is not
I'm
huge.
Super impressed. Meanwhile, Kenny, back at the house, has set up a little picnic for Crystal so that he can tell her how he feels. Get to know her a little bit better. He draws a heart in the sand, sets out candles, lays out blankets, and he says, you know, thank you for the rose. I want to get to know you better. I'm a romantic when I feel like it, like with the right person. And she's like, thank you for doing all this, but no.
Again, another pretty direct conversation, though.
Mm-hmm. And kind
of
amazing.
I wonder what changed for her.
Yeah.
I think she just realized I like this person, but I don't feel super romantically connected. I mean, you could see her face while he's doing this gesture, kind of processing. And she keeps saying these general things like, women really appreciate that. I really appreciate what you're doing. You're mm-hmm. such a great person. But she never says, I'm so into you. And so I kind of guess that this was coming. But yeah, she even says, like, this means I might not get a rose, but I'm not going to, like, pretend to be into you, essentially, for a rose. I thought that was
yeah, it was nice where she's like, there's all these hot babes around. Go for it.
Yeah.
And it was like, yeah, there are.
Especially because she's on the chopping block this
right,
week.
Exactly.
And it would be easy for her to, like, nod and smile through that conversation
yeah.
and keep him on the hook. And instead she's like, definitely, I saved you for the week. Definitely date around. And because I'm not necessarily feeling it. Kenny isn't thrilled that he's getting quote-unquote friend-zoned.
Yeah, he's like, I drew this whole heart.
I know. We're in a heart made of candles drew. And this is why I don't do huge romantic gestures like this that definitely took at least 30 seconds of effort.
Yeah, also,
you have nothing else to do. You're on a beach. You're on a beach with nothing to do except drink, eat, and do romantic gestures.
Yeah. That the producers probably do for you. Yeah.
It's like, could you get me blankets and a bunch of candles and I'll bring my finger to draw the heart with? We're good. Meanwhile, Chris is reassuring Tia that he's not interested in other girls. Don't worry about them. Be confident. I know what I want. I don't want to be distracted. Someone can come with a date card. It doesn't mean anything because I'm into you, Tia. I want to fall in love with you, Tia.
And then we have Kenny and Eric talking about the cheese.
Yeah, what?
The cheese leaves. It comes back. You follow it. Does it come back? Where's the cheese? Follow the cheese.
There are people who follow the cheese, and there are people who wait for the cheese. And those are really the two kinds of people in life.
What
the
are you
genders, as it were?
I don't know. I don't think I understand this metaphor well enough.
I'm going to be honest. I think that I am the person who waits for the cheese. And that's just, I mean, I don't know if you guys know what you are.
Or do I follow
the maybe...
cheese in desperation?
Well, I think the idea is the cheese is like love and affection. And the lab rats are getting delivered this cheese in the same little chute every day for a long time. And that's like the chute is like a person. And then one day they start delivering the cheese through a different chute. But some rats keep going back to that first chute for the love and affection. But they're no longer getting the love and affection from that chute or person.
So this is great.
You know, but other smarter rats are like, there's no more love and affection coming from this person or chute. I'm going to go find the cheese or love and affection from a place where it is being delivered.
Oh, no, I think I wait for the cheese, too.
Yeah, I'm
it's
definitely
not a, great
a cheese
quality,
waiter.
But I think I'm a cheese waiter as well.
I'm just really cannibalizing another mouse to steal their cheese.
It's a third option, yeah. And I like it.
Yeah, so ultimately—
You do great in paradise, actually.
No survivors.
Paradise is just people madly dashing around looking for cheese and then alternately devouring each other.
Did they
much.
Decide, are they, they're people who look for the cheese?
They're saying they should be people who look for the cheese because the cheese very rarely comes back to the same spot.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
No, Crystal's not coming back to Kenny.
Love,
no.
A true cheese fantasy would be the same spot. Like you could only really have a sustainable future if you know that you have. Right. One solid cheese shoot for life.
That's so true.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want to spend your life chasing the cheese. You want to find a shoot that reliably delivers the cheese
exactly.
forever.
Like Jaden Tanner.
Or Carly Evan.
Evan.
Yeah.
And eventually, you know, you have enough cheese. And you got a little cheese baby. You know,
it's exactly how
tag
it works.
Yourself in this situation.
Well, we've covered the most important issues from this episode now. But anyway, speaking of the cheese moving around, Crystal decides to make a play for Chris.
Again, very direct. I'm enjoying this Crystal. Just,
yeah.
Hey, thought we had a nice conversation. I'm curious to see if there's a connection here.
So Chris tells Crystal he's never kissed a blonde.
Oh, my God.
That we taste different, for sure.
I really started to feel nauseous watching Chris. Oh, the rest of the episode, I was just nauseated by him.
Oh, it was grotesque. She's like, oh, well, thank you. And he's like,
it's not even a compliment.
It's not.
She's like,
I've never kissed a blonde.
So
thank you so much for the compliment. It's just a fact. It's not even related to you.
Yeah.
It's almost a neg, which is like, I'm not into blondes. Like, it almost seems like the opposite of a compliment to me. But then he's
like, I'll do you the honor of.
He wants to give her that.
First.
Give her the title.
It's disgusting.
The title of the first blonde to kiss Chris.
But they do, in fact, make out.
The goose. Yes.
And then apparently Chris wakes up and just tells everyone about it.
Except Tia. He does not tell Tia.
And this
really
is a very smart tactical move.
Yeah.
It's just astonishing, like, how much of a douche he is. Like,
there are so many ways he could have avoided being the level of douche that he was.
Yeah. I mean, to have Tia interested in him is such a score. He should just lay
I
low.
I know.
It thank is, his lucky stars. They could have probably been together.
I mean, Tia, I want so much better for Tia.
Me too.
Yeah. Same.
And, like, also, if he's like, I don't want to be second choice. Crystal's pursuing me, and I feel like you're just, like, using me or whatever. He could say that. Instead, he goes after Crystal, brags about his creepy fucking pickup line to all the guys, and doesn't tell Tia what's going on.
He seems to have zero plans to ever tell Tia.
Like, what does he think is going to happen?
And then he starts to add more girls to the lineup.
More girls to the lineup.
That have shown no interest in him.
Yeah. He really, like, it goes right to his head as soon as a woman shows interest in him. He's like, I'm the goose. I'm hot shit. Like, women want to
throw on his bandana.
Women want a bite of this goose.
And then Jordan launches into a horrifying metaphor where various women are different courses of a meal.
Crystal, they're going to make paradise history.
Is the main dish. Annalise is just an appetizer. Bibiana is drinks and dessert. And
carrot cake specifically.
Yeah. What was Tia?
She was the late night palapa. And Jordan's like, oh, it's like you had a great night. You went out, you got some drinks, you had dinner, and then you get home and your ex is standing at the door and you have to talk to her. So she's already been relegated to a post-meal ordeal that he has to deal with after his fun night of treating women like food.
Annalise and Bibby also have never indicated that they are interested in Chris at all.
They haven't broken up, so it's really more like you went out for a big night of dates with a bunch of women, and you get home, and your girlfriend is standing there, and you have to deal with it. Yeah. And he's like, Chris is like, the goose doesn't know what direction he's going to fly tonight, and Jordan says it doesn't matter because it's the Southern Hemisphere, which is deeply geographically uninformed. Oh, Mexico is not in the Southern Hemisphere.
I missed that line. Oh my goodness.
And also, I don't see how that would affect whether the goose needs to find a certain direction.
There's a lot of things that don't make sense. Meanwhile, I guess this information has gotten back to Colton, probably because Chris is literally bragging about it to everyone.
Except Colton and Tia,
but I think Kevin tells Colton. And Colton does seem to still genuinely care about Tia. And he looks sort of stricken by this news.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, I guess I have to sit her down and let her know. And he does.
Yeah, I think Colton has this thing where he smiles nervously that makes him look like he's being a huge douche while he's doing this. But I really did feel like he genuinely was like, she should know. Because Colton was very honest with her. So, there's no reason to think that he's being hypocritical about it.
No.
And Chris is just such a bad guy. And he's been so shitty to Colton. And, I feel like it must have felt good.
He was feeding Tia so much bullshit.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, God.
Like, saying very intense things. She even says, look, I'm nervous about this. I'm anxious about this. I'm having doubts. I am worried that this will happen. He's like, never. I want you only.
I don't want to get distracted by trying to hook up with four women in one night on this show. And you will be
one is an appetizer, one is an anchorist, one is carrot cakes.
Consume them in their entirety.
I've never seen someone turn quite that much on a dime, even on this show, which is all about
turning on a dime.
Turning on a dime. Quick changes. Things change so quickly in paradise. So as we leave it, Chris is still planning his big night of dining out on women. And
gross.
I almost prefer it in the metaphorical sense in this case because I don't want to think of him ever getting to do that. And Tia is like, it's time to cook the goose. She walks up to him
as he sits
with Jordan. And Jordan's like, oh, fuck. what did you think was going to happen? You guys basically live together.
But you're walking down the beach yelling about how you hooked up with Crystal.
So I can't wait to see how that plays out. But, you know, Chris has got a lot of ladies on the line, a lot of interest, a lot of ladies who have his attention, a lot of ladies he wants to just take a big old bite out of. And so maybe he'll be around for a while. I don't know. I think he might have some more life left in him.
Him and Crystal are kind of a good match, I guess.
Well, I find them both kind of skin crawly.
Agreed.
But Crystal has been handling herself well.
Yeah,
so.
Crystal has been. Chris has not. But I do still think they're a better match than Tia and Chris, who make no sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I feel bad for Tia. I think people in Bachelor Nation are very quick to turn on the women. And Tia has been, I think, doing her best. Like, honestly,
I don't think she's done anything egregious.
Yeah. Mm-mm. And I would like to see people be a little more circumspect about, like, hating people and then deciding that actually they love them. It's exhausting. I think Becca Martinez tweeted something last night about how, like, on Paradise, you know, the first night of the week, people will be like, this person needs to die. And then the next night, they'll be sending them Venmo, like, for drinks.
For sure.
Like, we just can't make up our minds. I'm trying to be circumspect, but I really hate Chris. I'm sorry. I just do. I'm never going to Venmo him money for drinks. The one thing I've ever seen him handle well was his mentel all.
Yes.
Turn. Mm-hmm. And
when he wrote that beautiful song with Becca on the one-on-one.
No, I still hated him then. I just don't like him.
I'm just kidding. I didn't think that was a good song at all. He's no songwriting talent.
Yeah, so it's going to be a dramatic week next week, and can't wait. Thanks so much for joining us, Priscilla.
Thank you guys for having me. This is a dream come true.
Well, we are so glad that you could be here. Now it's time for Feminism Fails, and there were quite a few this week.
And really intense ones, I would say.
I agree. First, Jordan compares Caroline to a stepmom, presumably in porn. Women aren't porn archetypes, Jordan. We're going to give that one a 2.
Yeah, starting easy. That one's just funny.
It's a warm-up.
And then Chris says that Colton, you know, being a virgin, is emotional. I think we've well established why that's a problem. Please stop talking about Colton being a virgin. Stop. We're going to give that a 3.
And then, of course, Chris and Jordan disgustingly describe women as various food courses. That is a 5. Women are not appetizers or main courses or any form of food or object. Also, Chris and Jordan, you're repulsive.
But let's not forget Nick apparently grabbing a big old handful of somewhere Chelsea did not want him to grab her, which obviously is a 5. Do not touch women where they do not want to be touched without their consent. Thank you very much. Goodbye, Nick.
And that's it for Here to Make Friends. Thanks to our guest, Priscilla Frank, and of course, our producer, Sarah Patterson. Nick is on vacation this week.
Yeah, good for Nick. So, do you love Here to Make Friends? Find us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to subscribe and give us a rating. We're also on Facebook and Instagram. You can like us there. And you can find us both on Twitter and Instagram individually. I'm at Claire E. Fallon.
And I'm at Emma Lady Rose. Or you can always send us an email at heretomakefriends@huffpost.com.
Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week for so much more Paradise.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match 2 of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.